Okay, so the Gemara of Chof Gimel on the Dalet, first wide line, Tonu Rabbonon. A Mitzrach or a Kovov, if somebody needs to be excused, this is our locker that we began yesterday, then he should not be davening. He should not be davening. Al Yispalel. He should not daven. Not only that, the Im Hispalel, if he did daven whilst in that state, he felt he needed to relieve himself, then Tfilosoi Te'evo. His tefillah is considered an abomination, which is another way of saying he's not yet to the tefillah and he'd have to daven all over again. So this is what we left off with, because the question must therefore be asked, what does that mean? He feels he needs to relieve himself. How needy is needy? Says the Gemara. Omer Rav Zvid said, the Itema Rav Yehuda. Some have it in the name of Rav Yehuda. Loi Shanu. Elo, we are only talking about she'enoi yochoil lishhois ba'atzmoi, that he cannot wait. Lishhois means to wait or delay. He cannot hold himself in. We are only talking about somebody who is, he feels so needy that he's unable to really hold himself in. He feels the urge to relieve himself. Avol'im yochoil lishhois ba'atzmoi. But if he is able to hold himself in, he's not absolutely desperate, fine. He might need to be excused, but he can wait. Then there's no problem. Filosoi te'evo. Now when you think about it, that's also rather undefined. Because what does that mean that he can wait? Wait for how long? How long can he wait for? And that's what the Gemara now immediately asks. Says the Gemara, the camel. Ma'at camel. You just told me, remember this is two parts to this Gemara. The Gemara is telling me an Issa, and the Gemara is telling me a Heta. The Issa is, that if a person needs to be excused and he davens, he's not allowed to daven, and if he does so, the tefillah is not considered a tefillah. And then we were told a heter, that if he's able to wait, that's okay. So we're now discussing the heter. That particular halacha that you told me, that you are allowed to daven, we're going on the heter, you are allowed to daven if you could wait, what does that mean you could wait? How long can you wait? We're going on that halacha. Look at Rashi immediately, before we even see the answer of the Gemara. Says Rashi, va'ad kamo. Says Rashi, va'ad kamo yochoil laha'amid atznoi minakovov. How long is he able to withstand, to hold himself from being excused? Such that it would therefore be mutter to start davening. So Rashi clearly tells us that we're referring to the heter. We mentioned an issa, we mentioned an exception, which would be the heter. We're discussing the heter. You're telling me that if you can wait, then he's allowed to daven. He's allowed to even begin davening. What does that mean, he can wait? How long must he be able to wait, such that it would be perfectly permissible for him to begin davening? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Sheshes, ad parto, until a shear of a parto. Now we'll have to see in halacha how this pans out. What is a parto? So let's say a parto, for argument's sake, is 4 mil, which is, let's say, 72 minutes. So if he thinks that he's able to withstand, he's able to hold it in for 72 minutes, then he's able to begin davening. So we're not obviously talking about somebody who is so desperate to relieve himself, he won't even be able to finish his davening. We're not talking about that. That's nothing to discuss. We're talking about somebody who's able to wait, but not that long. He's only able to wait the length of time it would take to walk a parasol. So if indeed he could wait until a parasol, then that's not considered needy. and therefore he'll be allowed to daven. But if it's less than that, he should not begin davening. There's the Gemara, now we have to work this out. Ikka the masnilo. Some learn this line, amasnisit. Some learn it's referring to the Braisa. Remember, how did this Gemara begin? The Gemara began with a Tonu Rabbonon. Tonu Rabbonon is a Braisa. And the Braisa told us in Issa, it says, do not start davening. If you did, Tilosei Te'iva. And then the Gemara came, not the Braisa. The Gemara came afterwards in the name of the Amorayim and said a heter. Even though the Braisa taught me in Issa, you're not allowed to begin davening. But the Braisa, the Amorayim, qualified that, and they gave us a heter to begin davening if you can wait. So the first version of the Gemara was telling us that that heter of the Amorayim, not the Issa of the Braisa, the heter of the Amorayim to begin davening is talking about where you can wait a parasol. According to the second version of events, we're not referring to the heter, we're referring to the initial issa mentioned in the Braisa, i.e., it says in the Braisa, you are not allowed to begin davening if you are needy. What does that mean, you are needy? Says the Gemara, Ikka de masni lo amasnisin, bamed varim amurim. Some put it all together on the Braisa. Bamed varim amurim, when was that Issa said? Kesha'ein yochoil lamoid al atzmoi, when he's not able to stand, he's not able to withhold himself. Avoim yochoil lamoid al atzmoi, then indeed, silosoi, tefillah, then the dieved, his tefillah would indeed be considered a tefillah. Va'ad kamo, omerab zid ad parso, until a parso. Look at Rashi. Ikka demasni lahai bamed varim amurim, this qualification of a difference between a parasa and not a parasa, some say that was learned with regard to the initial braisa. B'masnisa gufa, it was learned in the actual braisa. B'loi mishmaita v'Rav Zvid v'Rav Yehuda. That's not what Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda taught us, but in fact the braisa itself taught us that. T'chi ayri inhu, and what were they adding? They're just talking about the amount. In other words, there's no difference in halacha, it's just a difference in version. We have an issa, we have a heter, and then we have an amount of time. Three stages of the Gemara. Stage one was, the Braisa says, is an issa to daven if a person is needy. Stage two, we are told a heter, that if you're able to withstand for a while, then you're okay. Stage three, that the amount of time that's called for a while is at parso. Which bit did Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda say, and which bit was all incorporated in the original Braisa? Those are the two versions of events. The first version of events says that all the Braisa did was told me the issa. It only told me line one. You're not allowed to begin davening if you need to be excused. And it was the Amorayim who came along and told me the heter and then the amount of time that would apply. Whereas the second version of events said that no, the initial Braisa told me the issa, but also told me the heter. That was not the addition of the Amorayim. All the Amorayim were coming to do was to explain to me what is the amount of time that the heter would apply. So line number one and also line number two are both in the Braisa. The Amorayim, Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda are just coming to explain what does that mean for a while. Those are the three versions of events. But be that as it may, the bottom line is uniform. It turns out that if a person is able to withstand a shear of a parasol, then it'll be mutter to daven, And if not, he would not be allowed to daven, so much so that if he would daven, then it would be tfilosoi tyevo.
So what if you're in the middle? 72 minutes is a long time to know it at the beginning that you can make it 72 minutes.
Yeah, so let's have a look. We're going to have a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Have a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Firstly, go to Ayin Ches. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Ayin Ches 78, we actually saw this thief, but we didn't see all of it. Now, Baruch Hashem, having finished the sugya, I think we can now see all of it. So at least we'll try and home in on the important points. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ayin Ches, Sif Aleph Hoyo, Koyre, the Summa Krishma, the Mishnah Berurah says quite clearly, the same would be for Tefillah. Hoyo Koyre, the Hitzchilu Meiraglov, Shaisasin Al Birkov, he began leaving his goof, pouring onto his knees. Poisek, he has to stop there and then. Ad Sheyichlu Hamayim, and then the Chayzer Likre. This we already discussed last time. Afilu Im Noflu Al Begodov, etc., etc., etc. Go to the end of the Shulchan Aruch, not of the Ramah, of the Shulchan Aruch. Va'afilu shoho kedei ligmoir es kula. Even if the pause was so long that you could have finished the entire tefillah, the Shulchan Aruch says, eino yitzorech lachzor, elo lemokim shepasak. You only need to go back to the place that you stopped. But the yesh oimrim, the Ramah says, I disagree. Yesh oimrim, some say, the im shoho kedei ligmoir es kula. If you pause so long whilst waiting that you could have really davened an entire tefillah in that time, then chayzer l'roish. Then you would have to go to the back, to the beginning, and the Ramah adds two words over here, v'chein ikka. That is the main opinion. Now, he adds some very important words. Ukamoy shekosavti le'el siman samachei. As I have already pointed out in siman samachei, so we're going to look there, we're going to follow the trail over here. Now, somebody asked this, I think Rav Nachum, you asked this yesterday. The Ramah concludes with three words, and he says, umesha'arim, one has to estimate this, lefi hakoyre. It's totally subjective. It depends on the koyri. In other words, some people daven a 5-minute shmoneh esrei, and some people daven a 20-minute shmoneh esrei. I just learned this morning with my chavrusa, just before the shiur, with Rav Bernard Bloch. He told me he was in Tveria last week, and he davened in a minyan of Rav Dov Kook. Rav Dov Kook is the son-in-law of Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein, who is the son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv. And as you know, Bernard likes summoning nets, so he went to the nets minion, but what he did not know until he joined the minion was that Rav Dov Kook is the Rav of the shul, and they wait for him. He davens a 30-minute Shmoneh Esrei every day, half an hour. So for him, this thief in Shulchan Aruch has very different meaning. When we talk about a pause, which is long enough to daven an entire tefillah, so for some people that's 5 minutes, and for some people that's 30 minutes. Now, turn back to Siman Samach Hei. The Ramah himself sent us back to Samach Hei. Look at Siman Samachay 65, the very first sif. Again, this is all talking about Kriya Shema. Koro Sirugin. If somebody read Kriya Shema, I think Sirugin literally means he jumped piecemeal, meaning piece by piece, bit by bit. Instead of reading the entire Kriya Shema in one shot, he read a bit, he then stopped, he read a bit more, he did it bit by bit. So therefore, basically, we are now once again back to our Shaila. He keeps on taking pauses in the middle of his Kriya Shema. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Dahayin, what that means is, Shehitzchil Likreis, he began reading Kriya Shema, Vehitzik, and then he stopped. Bein Beshtika, whether it was in silence, Bein Bezibur, whether it was speech, Vechozar, Vegomro, and then he went back and he completed the Kriya Shema, Afilu Shoho Kedei Ligmoir Eskulo. Even if the pauses in between the Kriya Shema were so long that he really could have recited the entire Kriya Shema in that time, no problem. Afilu Yotze Yotze. Now listen to this addition. Afilu Hoyo Hahefzik Machma Oinus. Even if the heftek was due to an oinus. Do you remember yesterday we learned the Tosfos and we made a distinction between somebody who stopped and didn't continue the mitzvah as opposed to somebody who stopped and couldn't be mekayim the mitzvah? That was the way that Tosfos distinguished between shofar, for example, on the one hand, and Miraglaim and Soya on the other. Shofar, you're allowed to blow shofar over the course of 9 hours. That's a huge pause in the middle. So you remember what it's supposed to say? No problem. Because there, the fact that you stopped, it's not that you could not be Mekayim the Mitzvah. You could have. You chose voluntarily to stop. Whereas in the case of Miraglaim, that's different. Miraglayim, it's not that you chose to stop. You were not allowed to, you could not continue. The Shulchan Aruch over here does not seem to make that distinction. Not just he does not seem, he says quite clearly that even if it was Machmas Oinus, what does that mean, Machmas Oinus? Even if he could not continue with Kriya Shema, not that he did not, he could not, it doesn't matter, says the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Ramah. The Ramah now goes with Tosfos. The Yesh Oimrim, says the Ramah, some disagree. And some would say, De'im Hoya Onos. If he stopped Onos the Hipstick, Kedei Ligmoir Et Kula, if he merely didn't continue, that's one thing. But if he couldn't continue, that's a different principle. And therefore, Chozer L'Roish V'Hochi Nohog. And that is the minhag. And once again, the Ramah stipulates, U'Mesha'arin, and one has to estimate, Le'inyin Hashi'ir, this inyin of pausing, Lefi Hakoyrei. It's totally subjective. It all depends on the Kore, V'loi Lefi Roiv B'nei Odom. I do not have to do a questionnaire, take a poll of how long it takes most people to read Kriya Shema. It's all irrelevant. It only depends on one person, and that is that person himself. So if for him Kriya Shema takes 3 minutes, then a pause long enough to send him back to the beginning would be a pause of 3 minutes. Even if other people take 2 minutes or 20 minutes, it's all irrelevant. So what is the Ramah teaching us? The Ramah is clearly teaching us, like Tosfos, that there makes a very, very big difference to us why he stopped. Did he stop because he didn't continue or because he couldn't continue? Now, you remember yesterday, Meirai Barabaisai, we are now going to resolve our Shaila. You remember yesterday, the Megillah in prison Shaila. The Megillah in prison question, we said, is unclear. Why is that unclear? Because the Megillah got taken away from him in the middle of the reading for 3 hours. So we would all agree that's definitely considered an onus. It's not that he didn't continue reading the Megillah, but rather he could not. So what was our question yesterday? Do you remember our Shaila yesterday? We said the Seder, that's true. But over there, it was a practical restriction rather than a halachic restriction. So we didn't have a proof from Tosfos. Tosfos is talking about where there was a halachic restriction. You are not allowed to continue your Kriya Shema because there is Meir Aglaim or because the place is unclean. Whereas in the case of the prison Shaila, even though it's true he could not continue the Megillah, yes, he didn't choose this situation, he was forced into it, but there was no halachic restriction. It's just that practically he didn't have a Megillah. So if you remember we said yesterday, we would still have to try and look for a proof, what would be the halacha in that case? Is that like Shofar, where he's more than happy to continue? Or is that like Meir Aglaim, that no, he can't continue? So the Mishnah Brura discusses this. Have a look at the Mishnah Brura over here. In Sivkotin Beis. Mishnah Brura, Sivkotin Beis. The Yesh Oimrim. The Mishnah Brura is commenting on the Ramah. The Ramah says that we have to make a distinction between an Oinat and Rotzain. Did he voluntarily pause in the middle of Kriya Shema, or was he forced to do so? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkotin Beis, in Siman Samachay, V'yesh Oimrim, Ta'amon. Their reasoning is, the Bish, Leima Im Loi Haya Onus, it's all fine and well if he was not an Oinus. She'im Haya Reitzer, if in theory he would have wanted, Haya Yochai Likreis, he could have continued. He decided to sit down and read the newspaper. But he could have continued. So then I agree that loy hava hashtika, then his silence, or ba'afiru hadibur, would not be considered a hefsek. Avol ba'onos is different. An onos hashiva, there it would be considered hashahia, the pause, a hefsek. Why? Kiven shaloi hoya oz, because then he was not yochoil likrois, he was not able to read. Now comes, finally, the Mishnah Berurah is going to resolve our Megillah in prison question. V'ayin b'mogin Avrom. Look, says the Mishnah Berurah in the Mogin Avrom, Shematik, who concludes, the dafka, this only applies on one type of oinus. This only applies in hu ha'oinus, hu machmas sheho'ish einoi ra'u. This only applies on a halachic restriction where the person is not in a fit state to daven. Kagoin shehutzrach l'nakovo. He needs to be released. Or the place is unfit to say Kriya Shema, Kogoyin Shemot Tosham, Soya, Oy Meir Aglayim, it became dirty, Behutra Chalishos, and you had to wait Ad Shehoi Tziyon. So what type of oinus is that? That is a halachic restriction. He, or the surroundings, are not fit to say Kriya Shema. Avol oinus acher. If it would be a different type of oinus, and guess what the example is? It's mamish the Megillah in the prison. Avol oinus acher kagoy machmas listim. What's listim? Bandits. right? The person is in the middle of Kriya Shema, and all of a sudden he's confronted by bandits, so he has to stop. That's not a halachic restriction, that's just a practical restriction. V'chi haigavna, or any similar type example, there, hava, kamoi, sheshotak, bernotzaim. That would be considered that he took a pause willingly. The loy choshev hesek lebeizu. It would not be considered a hesek. However, the dafka b'kriya shema u'birkei seho, avol b'tzila choyzel aroish, afilu bo'enet acher. So the Mishnah Berurah is telling you that there is a very big difference between Kriya Shema and Tfilah. We are always more machmir in Tfilah. If you took a pause in Tfilah and it was an oinus, then we do not make a distinction between what type of oinus it is, whether practical or halachic. But if it's Kriya Shema, then the oinus that concerns us is only a halachic oinus, but not a practical oinus. So therefore, have we resolved our Megillah in the prison Shiloh or not? Megillah obviously is not tefillah. It's like Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, Kriya Megillah. Now, this fellow, this poor fellow in jail, did not choose willingly to stop reading the Megillah in the middle. However, even though he was forced to do so, it was not a halachic restriction. It was not that he was not in a fit state to read the Megillah. There was no tzoya or meraglayim there, rather. Just practically, he couldn't read it. They didn't allow him because they confiscated his Megillah. So if that's the case, if he gets the Megillah 3 hours later, then what's halacha? He should be allowed to continue, and he does not have to go back to the beginning, because that's not considered a hefsek. So have we resolved our prison in the Megillah in the prison Shiloh? L'chaya we have? Well, that was maybe page one of my uncle's share, but I told you it was 10 pages. Because there is an altogether different factor in the Megillah in the prison Shiloh. You know what the difference is? The Megillah in the prison Shiloh, the poor fellow had his Megillah confiscated, but he doesn't know if he's getting it back. He's hoping to be able to retrieve the Megillah, but he doesn't know he's going to get it back. He's got absolutely no way now of knowing whether he'll receive the Megillah back or not.
Why is that relevant? If he doesn't get it back, there's nothing to talk about.
But the question is, maybe therefore that's considered more of a hefsek, more of a hefsek hadas, because he cannot plan when he finishes part one, that I'm just taking a pause and I'll continue in an hour or 2 hours. How do you know? You have no idea, and it's not within your control to continue. All the cases we've been talking about, even Tsoya and Neiraglayev, it is within your control. Hey, I've got to stop, and in 10 minutes I'll be ready to continue. Or if I'm tired, fine, I'm having a pause, I'll have a little rest, and then I'll continue. But here you don't know whether you can continue. Maybe that's considered as a hadas. Which, by the way, has further complications in the Megillah in the prison Shiloh, because he asked me another Shiloh. Not only does he have a question, if he would be able to get the Megillah back, does he have to go back to the beginning, or does he continue from where he left off? There's another question. Does he have to make a new bracha? Maybe that was page 4 onwards of this year. So it's an extremely complicated shayla. But on Koponim, at least we have resolved one element of the shayla. The Mishnah Berurah clearly makes the distinction between a halachic oinus and a practical oinus. When we say that you took a forced break and you'd have to go back to the beginning, that only when it's a halachic forced break. For example, of Meir Aglaim or Kvevet Tzoyim. Now, we're running out of time. Let's quickly have a look in Tzadi Beis now. In Siman Tzadi Beis, I know we're jumping around a little bit. Looking Tzadi Beis 92, Sif Aleph. Hoyo Tzorech Lenakovov says the Shulchan Aruch, if somebody needed to relieve himself, this is on page 248. Hoyo Tzorech Lenakovov says the Shulchan Aruch, you with me? Hoyo Tzorech Lenakovov, somebody needed to relieve themselves. Al Yisparel, do not daven. And it's considered very, very severe because of the Inhisparel, Tzilosoi, Toyeva, Vetzarech, Lachzoi, Velezparel is going to have to daven all over again. However, Vahani Nili, that's all true, She'enoi, Yochel, Lamoid, Atzmoi, that's only if he's not able to withstand, how long? Shiur, Hiluch Parso. Shiur Hiluch Parso. How long is a Shiur Hiluch Parso? Look immediately in the Mishnah Brura then, Tikkun Gimel. Hu Dalad Milin. How long does it take to walk a mill? 18 minutes. 4 mil is 18 times 4, 72. Shehu shiur sha'a v'chaymesh. That's an hour and a fifth of an hour. A fifth of an hour is 12 minutes, 60 plus 12, 72. So if you are able to hold yourself in for 72 minutes, then that's okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Amol im yochoy lahamid atzmai. But if you are able to withstand that time of sheer parasol, then what? Then yotze b'di'evet. Doesn't mean you're supposed to daven like that. Avla chatchila lo yispawel ad sheyivdoik atzmoi chila yotze. But la chatchila one should not daven until one first checks as one needs to be released. So we're talking about b'di'evet. So if you're not able to hold it in for 72 minutes, then even b'di'evet you're not yetzer. And if you are, you are yetzer b'di'evet. V'lechatchila, one should go to the bathroom before davening. Now, Nachum, you asked the shayla before the seder. What happens if prior to davening he did not feel any necessity to relieve himself, and all of a sudden he does? All of a sudden, very hard to gauge 72 minutes. So if you have, look very quickly, we're running out of time, but look in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. In Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, in the Emtzas Filotoi, what happens if he's in the middle of davening, and suddenly, Nisoirer Loi Taiva, all of a sudden, he feels this urge, he needs to go, Yamid atzmoi ad sheyigmoir, but v'lo yastik. What does that mean? Look at the Mishnah Brura briefly in Tikkun Ches. Says the Mishnah Brura, Rotzo loyma, this means as follows. Shekoidem hatfila bodak atzmoi. Before davening, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He checked himself. And he knew full well that he does not need to be relieved. So even though if afterwards suddenly he felt this urge that he does need to go, Einoi Rashai Lahapsik Ba'emsa. You are not allowed to stop in the middle of davening. Now, I seem to remember but I don't see it in the Mishnah Berurah now. Oh, yes, the Bialoka does it. Yes, with this we'll have to finish. The Bi'al Locha adds one very, very important point. We were just told that what? That if you check yourself before davening, totally not your fault, and in the middle of davening suddenly you feel the urge to go, you should keep on going. Carry on davening. The Bi'al Locha, however, adds a qualification to this. Sometimes, it can be through no fault of his own, he feels that he needs to be relieved to the extent that he literally cannot hold it in. It's going to come out any second. Under circumstances like that, clearly it's the greatest bizoyen to continue davening. We're not talking about that. We're talking about where all of a sudden he feels he needs to go. To say he doesn't need to go this minute, he can go in 10 minutes as well. So it's true he should not have started davening like that. But this fellow is excused because he did exactly what he was supposed to do before davening. He checked himself. Had he checked himself before davening and he would have felt an urge to go, he knows he cannot wait 10 minutes, and obviously he should not daven, and if he does so, but it's not considered a tefillah. But this person did do what he was supposed to do. And he checked himself and he felt no urge whatsoever, and then as a total surprise, he now feels that urge. So if the urge is that he needs to go, but he can hold it in for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, then he should keep on davening. But if it is he's literally jumping around, hopping from leg to leg, he literally cannot keep it in, that is the greatest bizoyen, and he clearly should not daven under those circumstances. Okay, we must hold it over here. Be'ez Hashem will take this up next time.
All the best, everyone. Wonderful day, everyone.
Good.